Registration is now open for the 2018 Apologetics Canada Conference. The conference is located in beautiful Abbotsford, British Columbia on March 2nd and 3rd. We have another amazing lineup of speakers. Get all the details and register at apologeticscanadaconference.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the AC Podcast. This is Steve Kim.
Andy Steiger.
And as you can probably hear, my voice is a little raspy. Tease the season to get laryngitis, apparently, but I seem to have a very
Steve, relatively mild case every year, buddy.
Yeah.
Without fail.
But this year, it seems a little milder.
Yeah, this year seems to be kinder to you than normal.
And my family is in Alberta right now, so I don't talk nearly as much at home as I normally would. You know, yelling at my kids and, you know, put your boots on so we can go to church and learn about the love of Jesus. You know, that sort of thing. So,
oh, I know, right? Whenever you get to church, if only people, or school.
Yeah.
If only people could rewind the tape just 10 minutes.
Yeah. We're all a bunch of big hypocrites. Anyway, last week we kind of cut our conversation a little bit shorter because of the interview with Natasha Crane, but you were telling us a little bit about your trip to Uganda. I was wondering if there was anything that you wanted to say last week that you didn't get to say.
Well, I think it might be helpful just to give a little bit of context to what we were doing, because I find that some people don't really understand what we're doing. So just to give a little bit of clarity, we've been working on the Human Project. As you, those of you that have been following us, you know we've been doing that for some time now. And we're just about to the finish line. In a couple of weeks here, we're heading to Ottawa, and we're going to film the last session. But what it's looked like is when we've gone to Portland, we went to Korea, now we've been to Uganda. What we've done in those locations is two things. Well, actually, three things. One that we've done is we've interviewed people there with regards to human rights stuff or with regards to human flourishing or human value type questions. So different people, you know, different types of ministries. So that's one thing that we did. For example, when we were in South Korea, we interviewed Pastor Lee from the documentary, The Dropbox.
Yeah.
So that's actually just a side thing that we were doing. The main thing that we were there to do is to film a short film, a short story. And so we used local actors. And in fact, in Korea, we had extras as well. And we told a story that raises the question of the session that we were filming. So while we were in South Korea, we were filming the question, what leads to human flourishing? So we told a story that raises that question. So that's what we were filming. When the project comes out, people will watch that short story. It'll lead to a discussion time, and then it will lead to a teaching time. Now, what we also tried to do was to film the teaching portion in those countries as well. And we learned a valuable lesson. When you're doing a teaching portion that's 5 to 10 minutes long, is an entirely different beast than a 20-minute teaching session. And so with this new project, we've upped the teaching. And that was a critique that we'd heard from the Thinking Series, was the teaching could be longer, because the teaching in the Thinking Series was only 10 minutes. So we are seeking to do longer. So we're doing 20, but it changes the dynamics of filming that. And the challenges that you have with lighting, sound, and a whole lot of other things.
I mean, these things take hours to shoot. Like
About three hours for 20 minutes.
Yeah, you think it's, you know, just 20 minutes and maybe, you know, you'll do a couple of runs, but actually, you know, it takes a long time. I'm not even talking about setting up and tearing down, right? It's just the filming part of it takes 3 hours.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine if you have, for example, the cityscape behind you, you can imagine how the lighting might change as the sun goes down or sun comes up or something like that. And how do you make that happen without making it look like, at one point it looks like the sun's just coming up and the next minute the sun is way up or something like that.
Right? Or what we were finding is that the sun maybe would be bouncing off a building that it wasn't doing an hour ago.
Right.
And now it's shooting light straight into the camera. Then we were dealing with sound issues. The issues just never stopped. And we realized it would take days to try to film this teaching portion in location. Yeah. So we eventually resigned ourselves to the fact that we were going to have to shoot the teaching portion in studio.
Yeah.
So we ended up doing that. But so while we were in Africa, what we did is, again, we filmed interviews, and then we filmed a short story. And, you know, that lots of things, you know, there's lots of challenges when you're filming a short story and using actors abroad. And God has been gracious to us, and we have had wonderful actors. Everything has gone incredibly smoothly, and really we're quite excited to see what the end product's going to look like. So that, for those of you that have been following us and are intrigued into how this is all going to come together and what it's going to look like, The Human Project will premiere at the Apologetics Canada Conference on March 2nd and 3rd, and we will be showing these short stories, and we'll be showing portions of the teaching as well. I think people are going to be quite excited about it. I think it's going to lead to some great discussions And great opportunities to talk about the gospel through our humanity. Maybe we should just say a few words about the conference.
The conference is coming up March 2nd and 3rd next year in 2018. Tickets are on sale right now, so you can go to apologeticscanadaconference.com to sign up.
And make sure to grab a ticket. We are amazed. You know, we've been selling out for the last couple of years, But this year we have sold almost double What we would have normally sold by this time.
Yeah.
So tickets are going fast.
And by tickets, we mean actually you want to register, right? We don't actually give you Physical tickets. But that language still lingers on from back when we actually used physical tickets. But yeah, make sure you go sign up. Friday night, so March 2nd, we're featuring a dialogue between Andy Bannister and Justin Trottier on Foundation for Human Rights. Which worldview provides a better foundation for human rights? Is it Christianity or is it secular humanism? So Andy Bannister, who is a friend of ours from the Solis Center for Public Christianity, he's coming to represent the Christian worldview, and Justin Trottier will be representing the secular humanist view.
Now, something that's really exciting about this is that we're actually flying over Justin Briley as well from Premier Christian Radio, who has moderated many dialogues like this, hundreds.
If you're an apologetics junkie like us, you've most likely heard about his radio show, Unbelievable, out of the UK. And what he does is he invites a Christian and a non-Christian every Saturday to talk about Christianity. And so he's been literally moderating dialogues for the last 10 years plus. And so he'll be coming to moderate this dialogue, and we're very excited about it.
Yeah, and he just came out with a new book called
Unbelievable, Why After 10 Years of Talking with Atheists, I'm Still a Christian.
I read that book, read it twice actually. It's excellent, and looking forward to him being out here. He's going to give a talk on that very subject, which was kind of fun because not too long ago, maybe we'll throw up the show notes on this for fun, Justin and I did a mock debate where he played the atheist and I played the Christian, and that was fun, so you can check that out too.
And I thought he actually represented the atheist perspective pretty well. I would say it was very believable.
Pun intended.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I'll never do that again. With that, let's jump into our topic today. It seems that we've been hearing a lot about religious freedom and those sorts of things in the media lately, or at least to me, those are the cases that really jump out at me, right? So you have the Trinity Western University case where they're trying to open up a new school of law, and they're being challenged. And this case went all the way to the Supreme Court of Canada. And our neighbors down south, they have something similar, the Masterpiece Cake Shop case. That's sitting in the Supreme Court of the United States right now. Oral arguments have been delivered this month, actually just a week or so ago. Now, if you're not familiar with this case, what it is Jack Phillips, who owns the Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado, back in 2012, met with this gay couple.
Two men came into the cake shop and requested a cake.
This gay couple got married in Massachusetts because back in those days, back in 2012, same-sex marriage hadn't been legalized in the state of Colorado just yet. So they thought they would go to Massachusetts. They got married, came back and have the reception in Colorado. So they looked up Masterpiece Cake Shop. They went there to order a custom-made wedding cake for their reception.
I think we should pause here because this to me is really the crux of this case. Mm-hmm. Because when I think when people first hear about this, they think, okay, a couple comes in and they've asked for a cake, and the cake shop owner has said, no, I'm not going to sell you a cake. But that in fact isn't the case. At Masterpiece Cake Shop, they were willing to sell them a cake. Mm-hmm. The question, the debate wasn't over whether or not they could buy a cake. It was whether or not Jack would be willing to decorate a cake according to what they wanted celebrating their gay marriage. And so, that's where he refused.
Right. On the basis of his religious beliefs, he's a Christian. And so he said, yeah, I can't do this. But you are welcome to anything else that's pre-made in the store, or I'll sell you anything else like birthday cakes or something like that. But I can't do this event. So the gay couple, David Mullins and Charlie Craig, they decided to take this to the Colorado Human Rights Commission. Colorado Human Rights Commission then sued Masterpiece Cake Shop. And Masterpiece Cake Shop lost in Colorado all the way to the Court of Appeals, which is the highest court in Colorado. And so then he appealed to the Supreme Court of the United States. And there were lots of what in Canada we would call interveners. Like there were lots of other groups that were coming in, other groups that have some kind of an interest in this case, because how this case is ruled would impact them too. They came in and fought on his behalf as well. And the key group that is defending Jack Phillips is Alliance Defending Freedom, which is a group known for doing these sorts of constitutional cases for Christians and people of other faiths.
Steve, let me ask you a question about this.
Yeah.
When you look at this, what are you thinking are the best arguments, you know, for and against?
For and against, yeah.
Yeah, because as I look at this, I have to confess, I think it's a complicated case.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's not straightforward.
Right. I think case for Masterpiece Cake Shop is that Jack Phillips didn't refuse to serve the customers. He refused to do the event because he did offer other things. The gay couple weren't refused on the basis of who they were. But if you actually look at any of their interviews and things like that over and over again, that's what they say. We were denied service because of who we were.
Right, which is isn't accurate at all.
Which is not the case. And I think it's another one of those cases where I've mentioned this over and over again, but a case where we believe that we're defined by what we do. I just don't think that's the case. But anyway, that is their perspective. They say, we were discriminated against. We were denied service because of who we were, even though Jack Phillips said, no, you're welcome to a birthday cake or anything else.
Now, here's an interesting question that I think is being challenged in the courts and that people are thinking through is what obligation does a business have to serve you? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. Haven't you been to those businesses where they'll have those signs, right? Mm-hmm. That say we reserve the right to refuse service, mm-hmm. right? And really, what we're seeing in here is that's not the case. You cannot deny service, or if you do, this seems to me the big question: on what foundations can you do that? So if some neo-Nazis came into the cake shop and said, we want you to design, you know, a cake.
Yeah, and let's say the baker is Jewish.
Right, yeah. And we want swastikas all over this bad boy, and we want it to say, Hail Hitler. Does that cake shop have an obligation to make that guy that cake?
So as much as this is hailed as a fight for religious freedom, actually, the way I look at it, this has more to do with the freedom of association than it does with religious freedom. I mean, it's in there too. That component is in there too, because Jack Phillips, he refused to do this same-sex wedding on the basis of his religious beliefs. But even more fundamental is the freedom of association. And just like you said, if a Jewish baker has this neo-Nazi customer come in and demanding a swastika cake, would he be coerced by the state to actually make it?
Because I think one area that some people think that this is going and isn't the case is that I think we would all be in agreement that if somebody comes into your business, you know, you are obligated to sell to all people, whoever's coming in to buy your goods. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all think about we don't all think about, but I think about that movie Zootopia. Did you ever see that with your kids?
I saw that,
So you remember, right, when the elephants when the what was he, like a fox or whatever? You know, and he wants to buy ice cream at the elephant store, and they're like, well, we're not selling to you. You know, we all get that. I mean, when I come into a store, you know, you should sell to all people.
Yeah.
You're obligated as a business to sell. That's what you're set, that's what you're doing.
And there are certain conditions that you have to meet when you walk into a restaurant, right? We're all familiar with this. Many restaurants will actually refuse to serve you if you go there shirtless.
Right.
And they'll say, we're not going to serve you if you don't wear shoes and don't wear shirts. But that is not to discriminate against you, because if you were to put on a shirt and put on shoes, they will serve you. In the same way that in this case, if this gay couple were to come to Jack Phillips and said, hey, bake us a birthday cake, he would have done that gladly. And Jack Phillips said over and over again, like, I've never, up to this point, I never denied anybody any service. And I didn't deny Mullins and Craig their service. I just refused to do the wedding, right? I would serve them any other cake or anything else in the store. They're welcome to it. They're welcome to purchase it. So I think that's probably the strongest argument that I saw. In fact, Alliance Defending Freedom went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and it was one of those like short videos where they would ask different students different questions. So what they asked was, have you heard about that designer, dress designer, who refused to serve Melania Trump? And all the university students, yeah, I heard about this. What do you think? Like, do you think she had the right to do that? Oh yeah, like she has the right to do with her business whatever she wants. So they were all for that. But and then Alliance Defending Freedom asked, what about if a Muslim singer were to be invited by a Christian church and he was asked to do an Easter service? I'd be like, that sounds a bit unusual. But if that were to happen, I mean, the Muslim singer can refuse to do that, and that's his belief. Now, Alliance Defending Freedom worked religion into this, right? And so then Alliance Defending Freedom again asks, well, if there was a law in the state that actually forced you to render service to these groups whose beliefs that you didn't agree with or whatever, is that a good law? And they said, no, I don't think so. But as soon as the story changed, what about a Christian photographer, wedding photographer, who is coerced to photograph a same-sex wedding? All of a sudden, everybody's humming and hawing.
Well, and I mean, we can change this even with this story of a cake shop, because we could flip it to that it's a homosexual couple that owns the cake shop, and it's a Christian who's come in for service and wants a cake for a political party that they're putting on, or it could just be for a party that they're putting on that's an anti-homosexuality event.
Yeah, like
event.
Say Westboro Baptist Church comes into a shop that's, you know, run by a gay person, right, and wants God hates fags written all over the cake or something like that, right?
Right. And, you know, do they have the right to refuse to make that cake, you know, or do they have to make that? Now, where I think the crux of this and the challenge and where people see that these are different stories when it comes to the homosexual couple is because I think that they've tied this to a human rights question, where this is now a question of like human value or, you know, in many ways as well, we've seen this where it's been tied to the African-American, you know, rights to service as well, as we saw when they were being denied service. Mm-hmm. And so now
Yeah, and that's
these are the parallels we're seeing.
Right, and that's the argument that we continue. That's the analogy that we see used over and over again on the other side as well. We've had cases where Black people were denied service. Like, well, what about that?
And that's why I think it's so important that we understand that we're dealing with something different here.
Mm-hmm.
When African Americans were denied service, they were denied service because they were African American. Whereas what's happening here is the homosexual couple is not being denied service because they're homosexual. The question is, what kind of service?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. If that couple that had come in was not a homosexual, they were a heterosexual, but they were asking for that kind of a cake,
yeah,
they still would have been denied. It wasn't that those people that came into the store were homosexual. It was the kind of cake that they were asking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on the other side of the argument, I hear that analogy used over and over again, which I don't think is a very good analogy because you're confusing
which
the person.
Analogy is that?
The analogy of Black people being denied service.
Mm-hmm.
But that one, you're being denied service because of who you are, not what you do. But in this case, with Masterpiece Cake Shop, Jack Phillips simply refused to do the same-sex wedding. It was about the event, not the people. And then another argument that I heard is, where do you draw the line? If we say that Jack Phillips is an artist and there's artistic expression, then he is entitled to First Amendment protection, right? Freedom of speech, freedom of expression. But then how far do we extend that? Do we extend it to makeup artists? They're called artists, right? What about people who do hairs? Or what about chefs that make really elaborate foods and things like that?
Do they have the right to refuse service to a homosexual couple? I'm not mm-hmm. doing your makeup. Mm-hmm. I'm not making you food.
Mm-hmm. And so then the argument is, so for example, when a mother comes and asks for a birthday cake, even custom-made birthday cake that says, you know, happy birthday, Johnny, nobody thinks that it's the baker who is delivering that message to the child. It is the mother who is delivering that message to the child. The baker is simply just writing that down. But again, I don't think that's very strong because you're still going through the baker who actually has to go through the act of writing out the message, for example, or putting symbols on it that celebrates and things like that. And so I'm not entirely convinced by that argument either. As far as where do you draw the line, I think that
seems to me that that's a big question.
Yeah. But I think in a sense, it kind of misses the point. That is an interesting question, but it's a secondary question because you could always say that we need to take this on a case-by-case basis, right? How much expression is going into this and how much of it has to do with the sincerely held beliefs of that person or how much of it—
What would you see as the crux of this question?
As far as I'm concerned, it's the association issue.
No, that's where you would disagree with this freedom of speech that they're basing it on. And you would say, no, I think it's more about association.
There's a clash of rights that's happening here. I would say the freedom of association is, as for me, like if I'm going to err on the side of anything, I would probably err on the side of freedom rather than state coercion, you know, because I'm more of a libertarian in that sense. But I think to me, it's pretty clear when most people are willing to say, you know, a Jewish baker can't be coerced by the state to bake a cake with Nazi symbols on it or something like that, right? And we can see plenty of cases where we actually wouldn't use the coercive power of the state to force somebody to bake a cake or render service that they just can't.
Which, by the way, brings me back to the Trump an analogy that was brought up.
Yeah.
Because do you remember when he won the election? Mm. Well, first you talked about his wife. When he won the election, mm-hmm. You remember how they had their celebration and they invited all these different bands and mm-hmm. you know, different people to come and to participate. And it was like they all were denying it.
Yeah.
And then people were asking, will anyone accept it? You know, and if they did, everyone's like, we're going to chastise them and, you know, we're going to hate them and we're going to stop buying their records or whatever else.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, wow. you know, agree with Trump or not, but you're a musician, you're an artist, mm-hmm. and you've been asked to come and to play at something. What's your reason for not going? Is it, you know, is it because you don't like Trump? You know, that, well, now do you have the right to refuse because you don't like somebody's views or you don't agree with somebody's views?
Exactly. I look at
that. This case, by the way, the cake thing, I think is even stronger though, because we're talking about religious convictions, but at any rate.
But that's exactly it, right? I don't think very many people would disagree with us that in principle, you should have the right to render service to whomever based on what they do. Not on the basis of the person, but on the basis of what they do, right? Or certain views that they might hold. When it comes down to a Christian, for example, refusing to render service on the basis of his religious beliefs or something like that, now everybody's saying, oh, it's discrimination. Unless you're willing to call something like what happened to Donald Trump and Melania Trump discrimination, unless you're willing to say that, you should agree with us that, Jack Phillips should be able to do with his business what he wants. And on the final note, I always thought it was really interesting that it's always the Christians that seem to be taken to court. I remember seeing this video of Steve Crowder. He does these kinds of things all the time. He'll do these like undercover shots and things like that. He actually went to Dearborn, Michigan, and everybody knows Dearborn, Michigan is known for its large Muslim population. So he went to different bakeries and he pretended to be gay and he asked them to bake them a wedding cake to celebrate their same-sex wedding. And guess what happened? Well, yes, some of them actually said, we'll do it. But a lot of them said, no, I don't want it. I don't want to. Does that ever get press in the mainstream media? No, never. But a Christian says, no, I'm not going to do this. And all of a sudden, this thing ends up, you know, at the Supreme Court. And so I found that double standard really interesting. So anyway, those are some thoughts that we had on this case.
We're still thinking through it, trying to wrap our minds around it. It's a tough case.
The ruling will come down, as I understand it, sometime in June of this coming year in 2018. So this is a really critical case for obvious reasons. And so we'll just keep our eyes on it and see what comes out of it. Hopefully the justices at the Supreme Court will do the right thing. Okay, that's it for today. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. The Apologetics Canada podcast has been a ministry of Apologetics Canada, and we'll see you next week. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back the week after in the new year. And we have some pretty exciting interviews lined up in January, a couple of really exciting ones. So keep your ears open for that. We'll come back and see you next year. Merry Christmas. If you enjoy and appreciate the AC podcast, show us some love on iTunes. Please consider leaving a review. It helps us keep doing what we're doing.